Good morning, this is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Starting class at a new school is always a bit frightening, but starting at a new school in a new country while learning a new language, well, that can be downright terrifying.
Refugees from a myriad of countries have been resettling in Wisconsin for decades. Some come from war-torn countries like Syria or the Democratic Republic of Congo. Others are fleeing religious or ethnic persecution, like the Rohingya Muslims of Myanmar. Most have had their educations disrupted in their home countries or during their time in a refugee camp.
Coming to school after so much turmoil can be difficult, especially since many do not speak English when they first arrive. That's where Lynn Shedevy comes in.
Shedevy is a professor at UWM. She helps new arrivals navigate their new school in Milwaukee by creating books. She works with students from kindergarten to third grade to make picture books about their new school. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers from a small room at Milwaukee's Academy of Chinese Language, a kind of luxury considering her work is often done in school hallways.
You know, my personal little environment with groups of kids is very positive. I feel privileged to be able to work with them. They are happy, they are excited to learn, they're interactive with me. So I feel like it's very positive. I find that when I work with these groups of refugee children, they do a lot of interacting and talking with me and my field students. Often they go in the classroom and they're pretty quiet. I can't actually say all the children I work with go in the classroom and are very quiet, but it's nice to kind of see them open up in these safer spaces, kind of removed. Not all schools allow for a room like we're in right now, actually, okay, to be removed. Often we're working in the hall. So can you imagine that right now? We couldn't get a whole lot done, but so here at Mackle, it's nice that we can have our own little room that we work in.
What's the timeline of this program in general? When did it start? Why did you start it?
Well, after the election, I found that a population who I've been an advocate for 20 years or so, the refugee population, felt defensive, felt scared. I felt protective of them because there was a lot of negative talk about refugees in general, and of course the travel ban and banning people seeking refuge here from specific places, I think sent out a negative message in general to the American public. I'm not saying everybody has that message, but I do know people who felt very scared and discouraged about that message. And I think a lot of people felt permission to act on some real negative thoughts they have about these populations, as we've seen in the news, and then I've heard stories in Milwaukee as well. So I went to marches, I wrote letters to senators, but I kind of felt like I wasn't, that's good, I think that's good. I felt like I was doing something, but it didn't feel effective to me, really. I just feel like one of a mass of people. I don't know if the senator's really gonna read my letter, or, you know? I felt very powerless, and so I thought, well, I wanna do something, you know, just something volunteer-wise where I'm reaching out to this population to let them know that I validate them, I value them, I love them. That was in my, you know, out of my own personal time. So I heard about some funding where I could get some money just to get supplies to make these books with the kids. So I wrote a proposal and it was accepted. And then I have contacts in the public schools where I can connect with newcomer children, refugee children, and so I just really talked to people at different schools and said, do you have some newcomers I can work with? And that's how it all got started, really. But it kind of, you know, it just bubbled up inside me, like, I gotta do something, you know?
So how long have most of these kids been here?
Well, I am attempting to work with the ones who've just come. So the group that you observed today, they're quite new. It's definitely been in the second semester of, well, I'm thinking UWM second semester. So I believe they came, you know, in the winter, I'll say January, February, something like that. Or sometimes the students have just been here this school year, so starting maybe September. You know, one thing that happens with refugee children is, and their families, is they kind of come at different times of the year. They're kind of coming and coming and coming all year long. And so I've worked with some that have just been here since November, some that got here last month. There's a group of children from Syria I'm working with at a school that got here. They've only been here, it might be 6 weeks to 2 months, something like that. So I try to find new newcomers who are in that time period of, this is scary, I don't understand what anyone's saying, the food's weird, I don't get that, I'm not eating all day at school, because I'm trying to find them when they're in that zone of feeling fear and everything's so new, and working with them then. But I can't always catch them then. So I have worked with groups of ESL students, refugee children, and I've had some that have been here like 2 years who are like, can I make a book too? And I can't say no. So I've worked with them too.
You're making these books. Tell me a little bit about the books themselves.
I was an ESL teacher for many years too, and I found that I worked with the Somali population primarily in Minnesota. They'd come to school and everything here in the United States was very different, and they didn't really know where they were going to these different rooms all day long. That was something new, or children hadn't been in school at all because they've been in refugee camps. So the best place to start is to use photographs of places in the school and repetitive language to talk about those places and have them take pictures of where they're going all day long, so they have some understanding or control about where they're going all day each day. So we walk around the school and take pictures of the music room and the art room and the library, the gym, the office, the bathroom for sure, the water fountain or bubbler as we say in Wisconsin, the office, their classroom, and just start to work with the vocabulary around those places. And they love going around and taking the pictures. And then we just make the book about their new school with pictures of the school and the different places they go in the school. And really practice the language, especially bathroom. I want to make sure they can say bathroom. And then I differentiate the writing portion because they write captions under the pictures. So some children, especially grade level wise and proficiency wise, they're all at beginning proficiency, but some children are also emergent writers. So I might type out this is the, and they just trace bathroom. Some children are at the level, if they've come in second grade and they have some literacy in their first language, they're ready to write the whole sentence and even hear some of the letter sounds, but I might write a sentence model and they write the whole sentence themselves. And then others are at the stage where they're tracing the whole sentence. So I differentiate it in that way. But it's a book that they get to take home about their first, their new school. Often it's their very first school in the United States. So I want them to be able to take that home and hold on to that as a memory.
And that's something that you just brought up. A lot of these kids are coming from refugee camps. In general, the kids who are coming from camps, have they been to school before? How long, is there an average time that kids have been out of school?
So we do have to speak in general terms because it really depends on which refugee camp they've been in. We have found that children that are coming from Malaysia, refugee camps there tend to have good literacy. They have been taught English to some capacity. They come with some English language knowledge, at least letters of the letters in the alphabet, for example, and they've been taught Malay. But the children that are coming from those refugee camps tend to be Rohingya from Burma, and then a variety of other backgrounds, but primarily we know that our Rohingya children and some other Burmese children, some are coming from there too, tend to have some literacy. So knowing that, I approach that differently than children I know who are coming from some refugee camps in Thailand where I know there's no schooling going on, there's no reading or writing being taught. Refugee camps in Tanzania where we have some students coming from, we've found that they're coming with no literacy skills either. So it kind of depends because there's so many refugee camps. different camps set up programming, but in general, compared to like our immigrant population, refugees, children come with very little literacy skills, just because of the nature of their existence before coming here. Also, they've had interrupted schooling. I mean, our Syrian refugees haven't been able to go to school because, you know, it's been a terrible, terrible, traumatic war situation there. So they haven't been able to even go to school.
Do you feel like your program helps bridge the gap then, kind of between a refugee camp and now suddenly school every day, 8 hours, sitting in a desk?
I'm hoping to, yes, make that connection, that very, first connection with, this is your school, we're writing this. These words match this picture. And since I do some differentiation, it kind of meets the needs of the kids that come with some literacy skills and don't need quite so much support in their introduction to school versus ones who, I've had children start to trace words, but they start at the right and head left, or start in the middle of the sentence and start tracing the words, and then I'm realizing, ooh. So I am kind of bridging, that gap between no literacy, especially in their L1, in their first language. They don't necessarily read and write their first language either, to just introduction to literacy, like where do we write? Where do we start writing? How do we write the letters? What's the easiest way? In a context that is new, but I'm trying to make it familiar, which is their new school.
Well, and how old are most of the kids you worked with? Because I saw the class today, and they're pretty little.
They're pretty little
kids.
They're second graders.
So a lot of them, it seems, would probably be not just starting that kind of literacy work, but not so far out of that age range.
I am working with kindergarten through third grade right now, and the reason for that is because I teach in the early childhood education program at UWM, and we certify we teach students who are going to be teachers who want to be certified up through third grade. I've stayed in the grades that I have field students in the schools because I wanted to model this with my field students, and so a lot of the different sites I pull in my field students and have them work with me. So right now we're limited to third grade just because that's the context that my field students are in. However, I think that it would be a great activity to do with some older kids too. Quite honestly, it can be a lot harder when you come in fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, 10th grade, just because the amount of distance that you have to cover between where you are in your language and where you have to go is just so much further. So,
do you have any plans to do that, or are you hoping that
I would love to? I would love to branch out to grades above third grade, for the grade, work with those newcomers. Currently, just because I'm doing this with extra time added on to my teaching at UWM and field supervision and everything, I don't have time right now to go in other classrooms. But once, the semester ends at UWM, Milwaukee Public Schools goes for another month. I thought maybe I would then try to seek out some opportunities to work with kids at other grade levels at a variety of schools. And then I also thought I would see what's going on this summer for summer school, see if I could work with some kids over the summer.
So this is a program you're really doing from UWM with MPS. Do you think this is something that MPS should try to really incorporate into the schools, like the Milwaukee Academy of Chinese Language, where there are so many refugees?
I think it would be great. Some of the ESL teachers are doing things like this already, but ESL teachers have so many children, and we don't really call it a caseload, but who they're responsible for, that doing some of these projects can be overwhelming. And also there's this kind of stress of moving the children along as quickly as you possibly can. And so it's not always realistic to be able to take time to work on these kinds of projects, I think, that maybe you'd want to work with a smaller group. But I think it would be great. I don't think it's a secret that schools, I would say the Milwaukee Public Schools, and it's not just Milwaukee Public Schools, it's all schools, are understaffed, I would say, in terms of really, you know, how effective we can be with our English language learners. I mean, ideally, I'd like to see, it would be better for the kids if we had a lot more ESL teachers at each school. Funding does not permit that. So the reality is, you know, I, as an ESL teacher personally, I always kind of felt like, I'm not doing enough. I need to spend so much more time with all of these children, and I just can't because I'm just me. That's just the reality of public education.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
You are very welcome.
Lynn Shedevy is a professor at UWM who's working with recent refugee kids to create books about their new schools in Milwaukee. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and for more information, head over to WUWM.com.